Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and I am very, very excited. Today we are talking to Nicole Vaughn. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fucking fabulous. We have cookies today.
I already ate so many of these cookies. Please take them away. I think I just ate five of them.
It's Christmas!
I love your excuse.
Christmas! Yay! Yeah. So we're going to talk about a few different things. The thing we were literally just talking about, though, I want to hear the end of the story. Okay. So backing up, what you've missed so far. Jared Leto. Top secrets about Jared Leto. First thing, looks good as a chick. Describe Jared Leto in drag.
Jared Leto in drag, I saw an editorial that Terry Richardson had done with him because we were just talking about Neil Patrick Harris being Hedwig, which is very exciting. But I was also wondering if Jared Leto was going to be in the running for that because he looks incredible in drag. He just feels so believable. Even his face is his, like, O face, which I think was on the cover, was incredible. And he feels like someone who really inhabits his role. And I would love to see him inhabit something like Hedwig.
That would be interesting. I mean, I'm going to come out as a not fan of 30 Seconds to Mars, whatever the antithesis.
I think you're not alone in this dislike.
They've sold like a lot of, like, it's a,
they've
it's
sold
upsetting.
A lot?
I've sold a lot of albums.
Like, see, because I...
It's upsetting.
I have no point of reference for them at all.
I'm just telling you. You also, like, you have, like, some more secrets on Jared Leto. Can we...
I can't divulge them. No. I know a little bit about them, him from Friends of Friends, okay. But, I mean, I think that he's really real.
All right.
Shall we say.
Okay, cool. So, people are like, all right, so Nicole's cute. Why is she here? One of the things that brought you to my attention was what you do on Sundays.
Sunday Strip series.
What happens on Sundays?
Well, Sunday Strip is something that I created pretty much just for fun. I had no idea that it would blow up, that I would get thousands and tens of thousands of views on videos on Vimeo and on YouTube, although they don't like the... I tried to make a Safe for Work version, and they just were not into it. It got flagged immediately. So, whatever. Sorry, no Safe for Work. And I started them basically because I love to dance. I don't have any necessarily formal dance training. I did do martial arts for a long time, and I'm very aware of my body since I'm also a nude model. I do nude modeling, and I really try to focus on doing fashion nudes and glamour nudes because I love being glamorous and I love fashion. But I'm very comfortable with my body. And so I have gotten multiple comments that I'm very comfortable with it and that I move well. And honestly, whenever I'm alone in my house or just working, I'm half naked, dancing along to my music, whatever I'm listening to at that time. And I just decided one day to document it and post it on Vimeo and see what happened. Just for fun, just for a gift in a way to my fans, which sounds a little weird to say that I have fans or that I give them gifts, but I'm really grateful for everyone who's been supporting me on all of my endeavors, and I got such a great response, and I love giving that back. I love giving that energy, that positivity, and that strength and fun into the world. So
this is every Sunday. For how long have you been doing this?
I have been bad. I haven't been as routine on my Sunday strips as I should be. I have a very, very crazy schedule, but I do try to do it as often as possible on Sundays as I can. I think I've been doing it since June. So not too long, but I've been trying to do it as frequently as I can, and if I have an extra time, I do maybe a couple in a day if I have an extra chunk of time so that I have backups to put every Sunday. But most of the time, they're on the fly, and it's a song that I'm really loving that week, and I just want to dance to it.
So what differentiates one week from another, one video from another?
I use this incredible app called 8mm, which is amazing, and it has all of these built-in effects. And also, I don't know if you've noticed, I have an iPhone, and I don't know if you've noticed, but the iPhone video, if you just use the video, crops in. I don't know why the sensor crops in, it's very odd. But when you use 8mm and you do the flip around, it captures everything. And so I have found that to be the best way, and it gives you different colors and textures, and I really like using that. So that's pretty much what I try to do. I try to do a different filter. I try to change my look as much as possible for each one, a different outfit that I use specifically for the video that I feel goes with it. And not that I'm playing a new character, but I like portraying myself in these different ways and then just having fun with it.
And what kind of feedback do you get?
Oh my gosh. Well, besides, you know, the general internet, like, girl, I want to fuck you. Like, this is a sexy video, but check out this real sex video on YouTube or RedTube or whatever it is. Besides all of that, or it's like, love your ass, like, you are your ass, whatever. I have gotten incredible feedback, just people being like, I think that this made my day better, this makes my week, I look forward to these every week, it's so exciting when you post one, you look beautiful. A lot of people are just very, very appreciative, I guess you could say, and that's one of the things that I've noticed about the modeling that I do as well. I really do try to give as much of myself as possible when I shoot and when I do the videos, because I really feel like I'm promoting a kind of positivity. The fact that I can make someone's day better by making this video is enough incentive for me to make them.
And what do you think it is? What is it that is making their day? I mean, what is it that you're giving?
I think that, and a lot of comments that I've gotten, not necessarily on the videos, but elsewise, has been that people just love that I'm so confident in my body, and it makes them feel more confident. And I think for a lot of people, they like my obvious enjoyment in it, and they like that I'm excited about doing it, and that I'm sexy, and that I'm naked, but I feel very positive in my nakedness. It doesn't necessarily feel pornographic, and I have nothing against porn. I love porn. I'm all for porn stars and their decisions. But for myself, I just love giving that intensity and joy, and I think that comes across, and that's why people like it, because it feels positive and it feels joyous, and people love nudity.
Oh.
Obviously.
What?
You don't know this.
Psh. What? What? That's crazy talk. All right, that's interesting. And so this is so fascinating, because it's also this mixture of, you're going to have the same people come and see mm-hmm. repeatedly, and so the human body doesn't really change that much, like, from week to week.
No,
so
it really doesn't.
You're kind of, it's fascinating, because we've got this one cultural idea that, like, everyone craves novelty and they just get so tired of whatever mm-hmm. after. But this is evidence that that's not really true. Like, that, like, ultimately most bodies kind of look similar. I mean,
ultimately, we all, you know, most, you know, female bodies have a vagina and boobs and nipples, and, you know, they're all placed in roughly the same place, and my ass is pretty great from everything I've been told, but everyone's got one. And I think that it's because what I hope sets me apart is the fact that I do feel very positive about it, and that people are looking forward to it every week because it's my, like, again, my gift to them, and my, I'm thinking about them. I'm thinking about all of my fans who are watching this, or people who aren't necessarily fans, but just, like, find the video and are really popular. And I think that's really cool. That's enough for me. It doesn't need to be that my body is unique and different every time, or that it's a different girl doing it every time. I really feel that it's just because I have that energy.
So I'm going to, like, dive into, like, yes. your personal shit a little bit more. All right. So how does this part of who you are and what you do affect the you that is you the rest of the time? Your actual self, your personal relationships, that kind of stuff. What's the interaction there?
I mean, that's a little tough, because for a long time I tried to compartmentalize myself and separate my quote-unquote real self from my more modeling persona, because in many ways it is a persona. It's still me, but it's a more glamorous and stylized version of me. And I try to always be positive. I'm not always positive and happy. I try to be, but it doesn't always happen. But honestly, as I've kept doing it and I've gotten even more comfortable with myself and, like, where I stand, and this year has been a lot of self-realization for me, I have found that they aren't really separate. I'm like that in real life. I dance around and I'm silly in real life, just not as frequently or not in a full face of makeup. So in my personal life, my partner, his name's Corwin Prescott. He's an amazing photographer. We've been dating for 4 years. We actually just got married, which is very exciting. Yay! And he's wonderful. It doesn't affect him at all. I mean, he likes when I'm goofy. He likes when I'm goofy and wearing no makeup. And I really appreciate that about him, that he likes me in both ways. But I think that there's a myth of the real in something like this. I get a lot of comments when people want me to see the real me. They're like, oh, I want to see the real Nicole. Like, what there's always that desire. And I think we feel that way about celebrities, too. We want to know what their real life is. What are they doing right now? Are they eating a sandwich? What kind of cheese do they have on their sandwich? This is the, what kind of sex do they have? These are the things that I think about. And it's not surprising that people want to know that about me, even though I'm not a super famous figure. I'm still a noted figure on certain social medias. And so people want to know about my personal life. But the fact of the matter is, it's all combined together. Every day is work, every day is play, every day is sexy, every day is not sexy, and everything I do has all of those combinations together. And I'm very lucky that I have a life and a lifestyle and a partner and friends and family who support everything that I do no matter what. So it's just another aspect of what I do.
I like it. I want to go back to a little bit on the YouTube, the different rules between the different places.
Yes.
So Vimeo and YouTube have... Mm-hmm. different standards.
Very much so.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I can't speak for YouTube. I don't know. I tried to do a safer work version of all my videos for the first couple months, which was great because I really wanted, again, I wanted as many people to see it as possible. I don't necessarily have to be totally nude for them to get the same energy and enjoyment that I'm trying to put out there. And still got flagged. I still got one
flagged. Who is flagging?
I don't know.
Who's going around doing this? Where are you?
I really... Please stop flagging my stuff. I promise I'm not trying to make it awful. I'm trying to make it awesome.
And it's so interesting because, like, I don't think you have to, like, prove that you're 18 to go onto Vimeo or anything.
You do to see certain videos. Okay. And I'm not sure how that system works because so many videos are uploaded. I think that's why they're so strict, honestly, is because it has to be a really large net to catch a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And they cut videos or flag videos that might not have questionable content, but because their net's so big, because they want to make sure they catch everything that might be harmful or that they really don't want up online, they think that's why.
It's so fascinating. I don't know.
I hope you can get the, content guidelines person for YouTube in here and ask them these hard questions, but get on it. But Vimeo has been wonderful. I've been posting on Vimeo for a while now, a year or 2 years. I've only been doing the Sunday Strip for about 6 to 8 months, but everything I've posted on there has been well received. I get messages, I get comments, and I've never had a problem with the authorities.
Do you run out of outfits?
I do sometimes reuse certain pieces, but I try to make the look as different as possible. I have a large wardrobe, but I am selling a lot of it. I also make wardrobe. I'm starting a women's wear line called Vaunt and Soul with my best friend of 10 years, who's amazing. She's queer, also super sex positive. We've gone to fetish events together, and she's just a wonderful person. But the clothing we're making has nothing to do with fetish, really, or sexuality, but it is very body positive. It's about being comfortable in your skin. It's about wearing flattering clothes and having... not necessarily being the center of attention, but if you get the attention, you're comfortable and happy with it. So it's very art-based. We're engaging with a lot of artists, and I also think that a lot of the art that we're engaging in is about people who are also positive in everything that they do. Positivity is a big, big, big thing for us.
So other than the fine clothes that are obviously for your body, mm-hmm. as opposed to making your body work for clothes...
Yes. Which I'm still learning. I mean, I have to get everything tailored, which is very frustrating and can be expensive. And it's very annoying when I buy expensive lingerie and the waist doesn't fit, but the ass does, and I have to take it in.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And then I think of, like, the whole Lululemon controversy and the situation there where they bought fabric that they hadn't tested before they put it on the shelves, right?
Excuse me? Hold up. Unacceptable. That's unacceptable. You would never do that.
Well, yeah, they found a new distributor or something like mm-hmm. that and then sent out a bunch of pants that, like, when in actual use in yoga, where you're stretching,
yeah,
then it became transparent because the fabric was not for that. And so they issued a recall and they, you know, took back all these pants. And then the guy who is no longer, he is the founder and he still works there, but he's no longer the PR head top dude anymore. He's said a lot of problematic things, including very racist things and
I've heard about this, yeah.
anti-woman things, but he decided that it was like, well, you know, not every woman's body is right for these pants, which is like, bitch.
Whoa. Back up.
Like, it's not like you're one through
five.
Talk
about a male perspective. Yeah. Fuck's sake.
And it's like, if you want to be like, if you want to be this elitist brand that's just like, we only want these particular type of people to buy our product, that's one thing.
And like, sure, and that's fine. I mean, there's, I am totally fine. I mean, the clothing that I'm making is for probably a higher socioeconomic demographic than the majority of people, which I have some mixed feelings about, but I still feel good about making these high quality clothes. They're slightly more expensive because they're made sustainably. And with something like that, if you want to market to a more, elite's such a terrible word, but a higher end spectrum of people, that is totally great, like you just said. But if you are trying to make yoga pants and trying to namaste yourself and make it accepting and enlightened, you don't say things like that and you make stuff that fits for everyone. That's what sizing exists for.
Well, and I think that the issue is that, like, it's not even that it only happened to women who were, like, size 16. Like, it happened regardless of what size you were because the fabric itself was the problem. So it became transparent when stretched. And, like, this effect is exaggerated on larger bodies, obviously.
I see, yeah.
But the problem was the fabric. And he didn't just shut the fuck up and just be like, yo, we got
take
the wrong
lumps,
stuff.
Yeah.
And they were just like, well, you know, because, you know, thighs are rubbing down. It's like, you need to stop. Like, right about 4 minutes ago.
I wish there were more pants that had another panel of thin fabric on the thighs so you didn't get rippage when your thighs rub together. That would be great.
Interesting. I get a lot of, like,
but it has to be seamless. It can't be thick. You don't want it to be bigger. No, but that should be doubled right there.
Yeah. Well, I get a lot of, like, I'm letting you in on one of
Please, I want to hear it all.
So I was teaching a kickboxing class and got a split right down the center of the ass.
Nice.
Right? And
everyone was thinking, yeah. Exactly. Just like that.
Yeah, so I'm like trying to teach kickboxing and that's not gonna work. And so I just sort of like, I think I ended up like throwing a sweatshirt on so as not to like flash all of them. Because I'm not a wearer of underwear under gym clothes, because that's not...
I don't wear underwear under my gym clothes either.
It's not a good idea. Yeah, it's, like, bunchy, and then, like, you get ingrown hair if too much, whatever. Yeah, so, like, that was exciting. And I get, like, when my pants are, like, ready to go because I've just worn them too many times and I've stretched them too far, it's always right down the ass. Like, and so that says a little bit about...
That's what she said.
Yeah, it says a little bit about my life. Right down the ass.
Right down the ass? Tell me more.
Yeah. Tell me more about your clothes. Like, I want to know, like, what, like, are you wearing?
I am not wearing anything right now. We are currently in the sample mode of our next line, which is really exciting. We're working with an artist named Monica. And the clothing that we're making, it's all incredibly luxurious and amazing. It's all silk and modal, and as much as possible is sourced here in the U.S. Some things, like silk, are just made better in China. The Chinese have been making silk for much longer than us, and it's beautiful. But we know where all of it comes from. We know where the factory is. And we're working very, very closely with an incubator called Manufacture New York, who are basically trying to completely reimagine the fashion system. And they're basically trying to replicate the slow food movement, the sustainability, the localness of the food industry, and translate it into fashion. Because the fact of the matter is, no one's making money, real money, at any level, because they're not doing it sustainably. And so all of our fabric is made in New York. Well, not our fabric, sorry. Some of our fabrics are made in the U.S., some are not, but everything physically is made in New York. We work with a pattern maker that's in New York, we work with a sample maker that's in New York, all of our production's going to be in New York, and we're very, very invested in that. And again, like I was saying earlier, it is a higher price point, but when you break it down, it's so everyone's getting paid fairly, so everyone's getting paid a living wage, and that's something that's very important to us. And so we're making very drapey, very Persian-inspired clothing, because my friend Najwa, her name's Najwa Sol, is Persian. And so a lot of it is from her heritage, which I find fascinating and beautiful. And so there's lots of hoods and big drapey fabrics and everything about it. Both of us love to dance. She was the one dragging me out to events and roublade and parties when we were now underage and slightly older and in college. And so everything that we make has to be twirled in. Every single person who puts it on immediately is like, yes, I love this, and twirling around. There's open backs and hoods. Everything has to be wearable, and everything has to be comfortable, and everything has to be able to transition from looking great during the day. Maybe it's layered with something, to you take something off or add a special little piece of our pop signature fabric, and you look amazing for the night.
Fabulous. All day?
Yeah.
All night.
And it's really our tagline, which is something that we're very invested in, is art worn trumps art hung.
Oh.
It's because we're working with artists every collection. So like wearable art. Art that you can twirl in.
I like it. So how are people going to find your stuff, both in terms of like the clothing stuff and then also you and more of like your modeling? Like,
well,
where,
if you want to find me and more of my photographs, you can go to vauntastic.com, which is V-A-U-N-T-A-S-T-I-C, like fantastic, but vauntastic. And that's my full portfolio, which has everything linked on it. You can also go, if you just want to see the Sunday strips, which I know you do. I know a bunch of you out there are very eager to see them. You can go on Vimeo, and it's just vimeo.com/vauntastic. I'm also Vauntastic on Facebook and on Instagram, and feel free to find me there.
Well, I think you have your homework. So I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nicole Vaunt. Thank you for coming on and making
hanging out people, in South Philly. Yeah, we love it.
Making people
trying, doing my small part.
All right. So thank you all very much for listening, and have a good day.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.